Amen. Blessing to be here this morning. Glad to have each one here with us. This morning, I plan to preach on something I've never actually preached on before. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for your blessings on us. Thank you for each one that's able to be here. I pray that you would be with those that weren't able to join us and just give us a blessed time as we come together around your word and look at what you have for us this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start out this morning looking through the Gospels at just some of the, what I'm going to call a mixed bag of reactions that people had to Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is just varying extremes. We see so many various extremes of thoughts and emotion in relation to Jesus Christ by the people that met him and interacted with him on a day-to-day basis. And I want to delve into it a little bit and kind of see how people saw him, what they thought of him, and kind of the mixed reaction that we see people having towards him, because there were many people who accepted him and loved him and adored him, and there were many people who didn't. And then there were a lot of people who thought he was the newest exciting fad and craze, and they followed him for a time, and it says that Jesus knew better than to commit himself to them because he knew their heart. But in Mark chapter 1 is where we're going to start. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. And as Jesus here is beginning his ministry, as recorded in the book of Mark, we see just before this that he's called to his disciples, those who he wanted to follow him. And they followed. They, okay, yes, Lord. And they followed. They obeyed. They answered the call. They came and followed after him. So now, beginning in verse 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine." They were astonished. The people that were hearing him, they're like, "Whoa, this is totally different. This is something totally new." They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. Now, Jesus could teach as one that had authority because he did have authority. And when he spoke on the Word of God, he was speaking with the authority of the Word of God. And many of the things that the scribes were speaking and teaching the people were things that they had added, man-made rules they had added. A lot of the things that they were speaking were either their interpretation of what God said or their additions to what God had said, and so it didn't have the power of God. Also, we don't have record that most of them at this time, it doesn't seem like they were being empowered or inspired by the Holy Spirit in the way that they were teaching, even what they did have of the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. So the people were astonished. They were amazed, just like jaw-dropped at the way that Jesus taught, because he taught like someone who had the authority to speak. And when he spoke, you stopped and you listened. He had authority. He spoke with authority. When he spoke the Word of God, you weren't sitting there going, "Yeah, but is that really what it means?" When he spoke, you were like, "Oh, I did never understand what that meant. Now I do. It's so crystal clear. It makes sense." He spoke, and the Word came alive in a way they'd not seen or experienced before. And there was, verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who art, thou art the Holy One of God.'" That's quite a testimony. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed." They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. These people are seeing something that they've never seen. They've never experienced this. It seems, from looking at what we know of Jewish history, it seems like the scribes and the Pharisees had developed some sort of exorcism that they tried to practice, but it kind of halfway worked sometimes. We see even in the book of Acts where after Christ had already returned to heaven, and you've got the, you know, Peter and Paul and them going around doing casting out evil spirits, we see that there was seven sons of a man named Siva who took it upon themselves and said, well, we can go out and cast out evil spirits too. And so this, the idea of trying to cast out an evil spirit wasn't necessarily a new concept, but seeing it powerfully happen, not, you know, he's not in there fighting back and forth and laboring back and forth for hours and all this just bad, you know. He just said, come out, hold your peace and come out. And it happened. There you go. They were amazed. They were amazed and they questioned among themselves. They're like, what's going on? What? We've never seen anything like this before. We've never heard anything like this before. Not everybody in the synagogue that day had the same kind of a reaction. The scribes and the Pharisees were quite unhappy with what they saw take place that day. They didn't like the fact that he was doing it on the Sabbath day. I'm sure they were jealous of how much awe the people had of the authority and hearing people say, the scribes don't preach like that. What do you mean? They had a lot of pride rising up to try to get in the way of them actually seeing it for what had happened, because the people were right. This was something new and unprecedented. They'd never seen anything like this. It's the Son of God. You're not expected to be as good as him in power and authority, but yet, if you're not willing to recognize that he's the Son of God, yeah, you're going to be a little upset. Here comes this no-name nobody from Nazareth come walking into town, and everybody's just drooling and, you know, amazed at him and comparing. You start seeing, you know, the same kind of a feeling rising up in their minds and their hearts that I think Saul had when the maidens were singing, oh, Saul's killed thousands, but David's killed 10,000s. And they're like, we're pretty good too. We can do stuff. Last week we had an exorcism and it worked. It took a week, but it worked. They weren't happy about this. We see even in the fact that it says they questioned among themselves, it means some of them were saying one thing, some of them were saying another thing. They're arguing back and forth. Well, no, this is in line with the Old Testament law. This is in line with the covenant that God gave to Abraham. No, this isn't in line with that. This isn't anything like that. I mean, we've never seen anything like this. This isn't okay. They're arguing back and forth. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, it says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. They're right. It was never so seen in Israel. It was never so seen anywhere. This is unprecedented. Guess what the scribes and Pharisees came up with? They said, well, he's casting out devils by the prince of the devils. He's not doing this in the power of God. He's just, you know, he's got an in with the biggest of the devils, and so he can tell the littler devils to leave. Luke chapter 5, verse 26 says, they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Everybody's having various reactions and experiences and feelings toward Christ as they see him coming and preaching and teaching and doing miracles and all of these things. And there's such a wide band of reactions to it. Humanity has never been known for being all that consistent in from person to person in our reactions and our feelings in relation to any given thing. You can have 10 people watch the same thing transpire, and you're going to get 10 different stories of what happened. I'm always a little surprised and find it interesting to hear different times when people tell me what I preached about last Sunday, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know I preached about that, but I'm glad that's what you heard, if that's what you needed. But we, as humans, we tend to see things and interpret them and react to them based on what we have pre-decided in relation to something. The Pharisees and the scribes, they already didn't really like Jesus, because he's coming in here and the people are admiring him and the people are looking up to him and the people are thinking he's really something special. Well, they wanted that honor and that glory. That's always been their place. They've always been the spiritual leaders. They've always been the ones that people come to if they have a question. They've always been the ones that people come to if they need, you know, an exorcism to get rid of an evil spirit, or if they're, you know, needing to come to, you know, they had to come to the priests and to those men if they had leprosy or these various things. There was all these things that they had always been the only access to God. And they liked it that way. They liked feeling in control. They liked feeling like they were something special. And all of a sudden, here comes a man from Nazareth, of all places. They don't really like, you can tell by the way that they talk about Nazareth throughout all of the Gospels, that they look down on the people from Nazareth. I mean, those are just like, those are your hicks. Those are your bums. I mean, you don't even know how to speak English proper. You know, it wasn't English, but that's the idea, is you don't even know how to speak properly. Your accent's weird. You are all just a bunch of poor, you know, unlearned people. And here comes a man from the most unlikely of places, and he's preaching the Word of God, and people are listening, and people are amazed, and he's doing miracles, and they're going, hey, hold on now. Whose authority are you doing this on? Who anointed you? Who said that you had the authority to come in here and do these things? And yet the people who are seeing and whose hearts aren't predisposed to be angry at him and to dislike him because they felt like he was stepping on their toes, those people, they appreciated him. They admired him. Some of them, obviously, not very deeply, but some of them did. And it's this whole back and forth, this tension that you feel building as you read through the Gospels. You see various places where it says that they're arguing with each other. Oh, this man couldn't do these things if he wasn't from God. Oh, yes, he could. And they're arguing back and forth. They're striving with each other, it says. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 16, it says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, that's a very mixed bag of answers that he gets from that. They said unto him, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the other prophets. There's a million rumors, Jesus. There's as many people as there are talking about it. They all have an opinion. And Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we see even his own disciples at various times questioning and wondering. We see they were, a lot of times, they believed that he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Son of God, but sometimes they struggled with it. Same with people who weren't even as close to him. In John chapter 6, verse 2 says, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. There's a whole group of people following after him because of these amazing things they're seeing him do. They're not necessarily committed to him being their Lord. They're not really ready to be a disciple, but they're following him because he's the latest fad. They're following him because, man, look at all the things he can do. Did you hear what he did the other day? I want to be there when the next big exciting thing happens. And there's this huge multitude following him, not necessarily for the right reasons, but they're following him as a celebrity. They're following around. Oh, we want to see what's going on. We want to see the next big thing that happens. We go on down through the chapter here. We see the feeding of the 5,000. They've been following him now for several days. They don't have anything to eat. Jesus performs a miracle. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. I'm going to guess neighborhood of close to 15,000 people that he feeds. They pick up the fragments. It says in verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So here's these people. They are fanatical at this moment. This is that. This is it. We're going to make this guy our king. He's going to take us and we're going to charge straight into Rome and we're going to conquer. We're going to get free. We're going to be the big dogs and the big, you know, we're going to be the bosses because, hey, this guy showed up now. But you see, it's not based on respect. It's not based on submission to him as Lord. It's based on what I can get out of it. Because it says Jesus perceived that they were ready to take him by force and make him a king. They didn't care what he wanted. This wasn't about honor and worship to him as you're the boss. This is them saying, hey, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to make you king. And Jesus perceived that they were ready to take him by force and make him king. So he slipped away into a mountain, himself alone. We see in the following chapter that the disciples have gone out across the sea in a little boat. Storm comes up. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. They get to the other side. The next day, the people go, well, where'd he go? Where'd he go? So they come around the lake a different way, and they come over there. They say in verse 24 of John chapter 6, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat loaves and were filled. You're chasing your stomach. You're not coming to me for the right reasons. You're not coming to me because you realize and recognize who I am. You're coming to me because there's a lot of excitement and a lot of benefits to hanging around me. And hey, the other day he made us food out of thin air. And man, I mean, if he can do that, what else can he do? I got to stay around and see if, you know, maybe he'll take one gold coin and multiply it and give us each 50 coins or something. They're following him, and Jesus says, you're not following me for the right reasons. You're not following me because of a desire to know me. You're not following me because of a desire to see the things that God has given me to do. You're not following me because you want to hear me teach the word of God. You're following me because you got full and now you're hungry again. Verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Guess what their response is? Oh, you have a different kind of bread you want to give us? Okay, give us this bread. We'll take it. We'll eat it. Then they end up in this long argument with him, arguing back and forth, trying to get him to prove himself to them. Till you get down to verse 60, and it says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard these things, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They're all over the place. There's people saying, oh yeah, this guy is great. Others say, no, this guy's not that great. He's just a trickster. He's a con man. I don't know where he's keeping his little magic dust that he throws and, you know, makes a big poof or whatever, but somehow it's a trick. It's not real. They're arguing back and forth. The Pharisees are saying, oh, this isn't the Messiah. This isn't for real. Other people are saying, oh, well, I don't know if he's the Messiah or not, but man, that bread was sure good. I'm going to follow along after him. They're all over the place. John chapter 7, verse 10 through 13. He's going up to Jerusalem for the feast. His brothers, biological brothers, they went up already ahead of him. He says, when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. They're arguing back and forth among themselves. Howbeit, verse 13, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. They're worried about what the leaders of the synagogue, what the leaders of the Jews are going to think if they hear them talking about him. So everybody's kind of whispering around, where's he? Don't you think he's going to come up? Why isn't he here? Surely he's going to come up to the feast. I mean, every good Jew comes up to the feast. Why isn't he here? What? Well, he's a really good man. I'm sure he'll come up. Ah, he's not that good of a man. They're going back and forth, all in hushed whispers, because they're worried about what the leaders are going to say. Skip on down to verse 40, and it says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. This is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? No way. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. They're like, we don't even know what to do with this. I don't know if he's right or if he's wrong, but I've never heard anything like this. There's never been a man who's spoken like this man. Then answered the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. But guess what? They wanted to think none of the Pharisees have believed on him. But in verse 50 it says, Nicodemus saith unto them, this was he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them. He said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own home. They couldn't solve this. There's so much contention in their minds and in their hearts between the various groups and between the people and between the leaders and between all these different people trying to decide what they think of Jesus Christ. And then we see a beautiful glimpse of a partial picture of what it will be like on that day that we wait for when Christ returns to earth. And Jesus fulfills several prophecies here in the book of Luke, chapter 19. On this Sunday, 2000-ish years ago. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found, even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he came nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Your Messiah has come, and you don't know it. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Jesus here just had, in fulfillment of prophecy from hundreds and hundreds of years before, come into Jerusalem. The people were throwing down branches. They were laying down their garments. The children and all the grown-ups were singing and shouting hallelujah to the Son of David. And Jesus was coming in that moment, fulfilling the prophecy of their king arriving, and their leaders weren't ready. Hey, tell your disciples to be quiet. They're making a disturbance. Do you even hear what they're saying? Jesus said, You missed the time of your visitation. Your Messiah has shown up, and you're worried about the noise? You missed the time of your visitation. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when all the naysayers and all the mixed reaction will end. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9 through 11 says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that is Jesus, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That will be the ultimate grand triumphal entry that we're waiting for. In Romans chapter 14, 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to the Lord." In that day, even the mouths of the Pharisees and the scribes will be stopped. And they will confess. For too many of them, too late for it to do them any good eternally. But they will bend their knee and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will come a day when all of humanity will be in agreement on who Jesus is. There will come that day. I noticed in Romans, it said, as it is written. I guess I didn't realize that that was written already before. So I looked it up. It's in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 through 25. "Tell ye, and bring them near ye. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have I not the Lord? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." And we who believe, it tells us, are the children of Israel. We're the children of Abraham through faith, through believing. Even back in Isaiah, it's already prophesied. God said, "I have sworn by myself, it will happen. There will come a day when every knee will bow to me and every tongue will confess. And Christ Jesus will have the ultimate triumphal entry on that day. What a day that will be. I can't wait. What a day that will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can know of a surety and of a certainty that we are on the winning side. Father, thank you that you said, even in your prophecy back in the book of Isaiah, saying that there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Even in that moment, you set forth salvation, a way of making right with you before that time comes, that we could be, as you say, justified and glorified with you. Father, I pray that we would all be daily raising the praise and the adoration to you that you deserve. Father, that even as Christ said, if these be quiet, even the rocks will cry out. Father, I pray that we would be sharing with souls around us, that they could be ready, that when that day comes, they could gladly and joyfully continue to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.